Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. On today's episode, I'm reminded why I invest in real estate. But first, a thank you to our sponsor. International Coffee Farms grows specialty coffee in Panama, where they get premium prices for their coffee compared with commodity coffee. They operate 10 farms, and you can purchase half-acre parcels for as little as $18,000. As an owner, you'd benefit from cash flow in perpetuity. The idea of owning an alternative offshore investment is intriguing to you. Check out internationalcoffeefarms.com. That's internationalcoffeefarms.com. We are back. On today's episode, we're talking about different investment classes and how to maintain a portfolio strategy that protects you from market volatility. Wall Street analysts updated their outlook for Facebook after the most recent earnings call. Several analysts downgraded Facebook and the stock took a 24% hit overnight, wiping out $120 billion worth of market value literally as people in North America were sleeping. This is despite a 42% growth in revenue compared with a year earlier. At least Facebook is profitable. Earlier this month, Netflix stock took a huge hit when quarterly subscriber growth came in below expectations. Netflix has never turned a profit, ever, in its history. And it seems that many people who invest in Wall Street have supported valuations that are not at all connected with the fundamentals of making money. Will the Facebook sell-off have a ripple effect to other companies in the market? That will only come clear in the coming days. Now, when I was growing up, my uncle, his name was Peter Travis, owned a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. I grew up believing that the path to wealth and wealth management could be found in the stock market. My uncle was wealthy, and I figured that was the path. And I was actively managing a stock portfolio from 18 years of age. Then, on October 8, 1987, we had a market correction wiping out 15% of market value essentially overnight. I wasn't dissuaded by that, and I continued to invest in stocks and bonds. Then there was the downturn in the market following the dot-com bust in the year 2000. I personally lost over $3 million of unrealized gains following the defeat of the dot-communist movement. Then there was another technology market correction in 2004, and then again there was the major correction that started in 2008. My first major wake-up call was when I was still working in technology and I listened to our company CEO lie to the analysts on Wall Street. As a result of that, today I own virtually no stock. I came to the realization that as a small investor in the stock market, you literally have no control. Now, some savvy listeners will also point out that many real estate markets took a huge hit following the meltdown that started in 2008. But here's the thing. 2008 wasn't actually a real estate crisis. It was a debt crisis, and the huge fall in value happened because Wall Street banks got overly aggressive in creating derivative securities that were of much lesser quality than their bond rating would suggest. This resulted in billions of dollars in write-down and huge reduction of liquidity in the mortgage market. Lending literally stopped overnight, and when that happened, the only buyers were cash buyers. Supply exceeded demand by a wide margin, and therefore prices plummeted. But it was driven by the availability of money, and it was a Wall Street-triggered event. Now, once liquidity was restored to the markets, in particular the credit markets, prices came back to prior levels, and that's what we've seen. The underlying value in the real estate wasn't destroyed. Now, of course, along the way, there were a lot of foreclosures and a lot of people lost their homes. But in growing markets with strong demand, value remained strong even when the credit markets were challenged. For example, markets with the highest demand, they experienced very little fall in market value in the wake of 2008. The end of the day, in my view, comes down to having control. As a small investor on Wall Street, you have no control. And as a real estate investor who focuses on value-add deals and without relying on market appreciation, you have a lot more control. If the market appreciates, well, then that's a bonus. But you should never be relying on that as part of your core business case for doing a project. You simply can't control market appreciation. Just like you can't control, even though Facebook is a very well-managed company, and I believe that they have a great future, and as more Fortune 500 companies adopt the Facebook platform for advertising, ad revenues will increase. But clearly, the days of 30% annualized growth for Facebook, those days are probably over. And that's why the stock took a hit. And you don't have control over that as an investor. I prefer to be in an asset where I have that control. So in the meantime, as you're thinking about that and you're looking over your real estate portfolio, feel good about the fact that you're invested in real estate. Have an awesome day. Make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.